Some people, even some Christians, spend their life chasing something that they never find. What is missing? Let's see what the Bible says about that. Hey, welcome to the podcast. I am glad you're here for this. If you're watching on YouTube, if you would go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel, like this video, and drop a comment down below, that would be great. And share this with a friend, because we are going to have a great conversation today.
Yeah. So there is, I think everyone would admit this, there's a natural longing in the soul for something that is never really satisfied in this life. No matter how much you chase it, look for it, try to find it, there's something that we were made for that is beyond what we are in.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So Ecclesiastes, it says that he, God, has put eternity in our hearts. It's a fascinating little piece right there to begin with. But this idea that God created us with a connection, a longing for eternity, for the eternal, for the mysteries, for the wonder, for the transcendent, for something that's not in this life, for him, ultimately, is what it is.
Exactly.
So everybody at some point experiences this. There's this ache inside that you feel like it needs a relief. There's an itch that needs to be scratched. There's a question that needs to be answered. There's this feeling of isolation that needs connection, that needs fellowship or relationship. There's something small that feels like it needs something big. And all of that is what we were made for. We've been created with that. Of course, the choice of Adam and Eve in the garden even further exaggerated it. They had the same longings, but they had the one who fulfilled the longings in their presence. But when they chose to rebel against him, it plunged all mankind who would be born afterwards into this place of where we're born with the ache, born with the hurt, born with the longing. And so the way that shows up today in all of us is in the sense of cravings. There's this longing for something. We don't always know what it is. And some people, again, spend their entire life looking for it. And sadly, a lot of Christians, even though they've come to Jesus, repented of their sins, been baptized, been active in a church, still never make the connection. And again, though they're saved, they still live with this sense of frustration, longing, never satisfied. So I think it shows up in three specific cravings that we're going to talk about today. One is a longing for fulfillment, some kind of satisfaction that you go through your day and you feel like, okay, I did what I was made for, or I know why I exist. The answer is partly there to my question, at least. The second is a craving for intimacy, a craving to be known by somebody and loved in being known, and then a craving to know someone. It's hardwired into us. There's a longing for that. And then a craving for understanding, a craving to be able to see life and make sense of it, I think we can say.
Yeah, and those cravings are natural. Again, like you're saying, being born apart from God's presence, where that is the only thing that can satisfy that craving, those are just exaggerated more and more and more in every person, you know.
And every time you sin and fail and blow it, it even gets worse.
Yeah.
You know, the craving for it seems to increase and intensify and seems to be further away.
Yeah. So crazy. So that's what we're going to be diving into, is those three different cravings of fulfillment, intimacy, and understanding. And so for that first one, the craving for fulfillment, I hear it talked about a lot, and you know, you see the popular, like, successful people and all this stuff. They're like, do these 10 financial things and you're going to be so satisfied with your life and all this. And people get, like, those people get millions of views, and everyone is searching, craving for that, you know, because there's that desire of, if I just accomplished this, then I would really be satisfied. If I just had this status, then I would be settled. And so that craving is internal. It's a natural craving, you could say. And it's an experience that will lead, you're desiring an experience that will lead you to satisfaction, to peace.
That's what you want.
Yeah, that's what you're desiring. But people stay chasing because of that exact same thing we're saying. Like, by chasing this in the flesh and trying to find the satisfaction, fulfillment in just things here on this earth, it's always going to be further away, actually, because the things here are just temporal. It's not the eternal. It's not the eternal that is the solvent to the eternity in the heart, right?
Yeah, so it's true.
Some of the things that people chase fulfillment in is in food, in accomplishments, in possessions.
Yeah.
That's one that people think, if I just had more, then I'd be more satisfied. I would then be fulfilled.
Yep.
They chase it in alcohol. They chase it in pleasure or in attention. You're thinking, if I had this status, if I was seen this way,
could get a certain number of likes, followers, social media,
all this stuff. Then,
if I can have a viral video,
my life would have value.
Yes,
and until then, no value, right?
Right.
So popularity, drugs, work, money, pleasing people, and escape is really like what happens whenever you're seeking fulfillment. But then, in trying all of these things, you're like, oh wow. None of these things actually filled me up.
Yeah.
Every time I thought I would be fulfilled, I'm more empty. And that's crazy.
I read the story. I've seen this in a couple of different sports figures, but I'm pretty confident it was Tom Landry. I read this about one of the former Dallas Cowboy coaches
head coach
that he sought that. And this man, he was a believer, but he thought, man, if I could just win the Super Bowl, that would be the most fulfilling, rewarding thing. Mm-hmm. And story, if it was him that I'm remembering correctly, that happened. He won it, and he said he remembered standing there afterwards and looking at the victory and thought, I thought I would feel different. Mm-hmm. I thought there would be this greater sense of fulfillment, but it didn't do it. It did not. I chased it all this time.
Yeah.
And it didn't produce what I thought it was going to.
So good.
And sadly, that's the way a lot of people live their lives.
Exactly. I was just, again, watching Aaron Rodgers, a super famous quarterback as well. Yeah. He, very similar story. He's like, man, I worked all my life for this. 2010, they win the Super Bowl here in Dallas, actually. Mm. And they win. And he's like, after that, I thought, well, now what? What do I do? You know? And what has happened for him is he's like, oh, I thought this would be fulfilling to me. But it wasn't. And so now he's super famous for doing these very weird spiritual-like things, trying to produce fulfillment in his life time after time after time. And it's just crazy seeing that playing out on such the great large stage of someone like Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And these things that produce a feeling of short-term satisfaction never will produce the long-term fulfillment, ease of the soul, no longer feeling like I've got to strive, I've got to strive, I've got to strive.
Yep.
And that is one of the cravings that we're talking about here today.
Yeah. Yeah. The second one we talked about is a craving for intimacy. And I think everyone can relate to this as well. Mm-hmm. There's this ache to want to know someone and be known by someone. Someone has taken the word intimacy and said a great definition for that is into me. See into me, see so that someone sees into me and they love me as a result of that. And I see into someone and I love them. That kind of connection is what we were made for. We were hardwired with that, a longing for that, a craving for that. We want to know that there's someone that we can talk to, be open with, and they're going to hear us. They're going to receive us. They're going to accept us. They're going to celebrate with us. They're going to weep with us. They're going to cry with us. We can trust them. They're going to trust us. Mm-hmm. That stuff, that's valuable. That has some reward to it and fulfillment to it. But when you look for that just in people alone, you end up finding that people fail you. People disappoint you. People don't understand you. People reject you. And so as a result, they don't end up satisfied. They end up in chasing stuff that's not at all fulfilling, chasing multiple relationships with multiple women, men, whatever the case may be, multiple online interactions with people. People end up putting up fronts to try to gain other friends, even though they're being fake in doing so, just trying to create and gain relationships, some version of intimacy. It's not real intimacy, but it's just having multiple friends.
It's the desire for it, and they think maybe this will fulfill this desire.
Yeah. People do that with sex. If I can just have this experience with someone, then I will be fulfilled, only to find that wasn't it.
Yeah.
So they'll go to bars, they'll go to places, they'll go to clubs, they'll go to places looking for friendships and more of that, mm-hmm. but it never really works, whether mm-hmm. it's immorality or whether even getting to the place of manipulating people, mm-hmm. trying to deceive, trying to gain friends, trying to force friendships,
yeah.
and none of that ever happens. They yeah. give off this illusion for a time mm-hmm. while you're at the club, while you're mm-hmm. with the friends, while you've got them captivated, while you're being funny. In those yeah. moments, there's this feeling of, okay,
I'm doing this. This is satisfying.
I'm on top
me.
Of the world. And then that moment's over
yeah. Yeah.
and it's gone.
Yeah. And so, you're back to chasing, back yes. to chasing, back
so
to chasing.
There has to be something more to that
yeah.
than just even the horizontal relationships that we experience mm-hmm. in this life.
Mm-hmm.
We were made for something more than that.
Yeah, exactly. Again, like God has put eternity in our hearts. These mm. are deep cravings that yeah. He has put in us. That only He can fulfill.
Yeah.
Right. So the next one talking about is the craving for understanding. We live in the information age mm. today, where everyone Googles literally everything. These days, everyone ChatGPTs mm. everything. You use every AI mm. source you can mm-hmm. to get information. You ask it for advice. It gives you advice. All this kind of stuff. And like, you can find answers.
Yeah.
To a million questions that you have.
It's
complex or simple, ask ChatGPT, hey, be my counselor and do all these things. And it will. It will produce answers for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Hey, Siri, be my friend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Golly. Yeah. I mean, again, TikTok, all sorts of stuff. People are like, oh, this is what I get all of my information from.
Yeah.
This is the thing that guides me in my life, mm-hmm. you know? And it's easy, and I like these things, and the algorithm learns you and then caters exactly everything you want to you, to where you're like, oh, okay, cool. I get all of my understanding from this source right here in front of me,
yeah.
right? It's wild that we live in the day and age where these things, Google, ChatGPT, other AI things, mm-hmm. TikTok, social media, all this stuff, is the source of people's knowledge. And God is like number 600 on the priority list of, yeah. of a place to go,
yeah.
you know, whenever you have questions.
And the crazy thing about that is, of course, I grew up in the era where if you wanted to learn something, you had to go to a library. You know, you had yeah. to use a card catalog. You had to wait for the yeah. magazine to come in the mail, you know, all yeah. that kind of stuff. You didn't have instantaneous
no.
information.
Yeah.
But what I've noticed even in my own life is, I have this available to me now. And the thing is, having it available only produces more of an obsession to want to have it more available.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start looking for information like, okay, I need to know, I want to learn about the weather, I want to keep up with all my friends, I want to know where
yeah.
you're going, I want to know what's happening in the news, I want to know what's happening in sports, I want to know what's happening in churches. And the more you chase after mm-hmm. it, it's like the more it creates this insatiable appetite,
yeah.
I got to keep learning
it's
more.
Wild. It's like the... Because it's dopamine you get every time
yes.
you're like getting this stuff. And so then the desire for or the craving for dopamine like
yeah.
just grows and grows and grows and grows. You got to feed it and feed it and feed it and feed
yep.
it. And it's just like this huge thing that you're constantly like, I've got to stay peak efficient, learning everything 24/7
yep.
or else I'm falling behind.
Yes.
And my life is less valuable
yeah.
because I don't have as much understanding about everything that the next person might,
yeah.
right? And that's the thing I find fascinating is like basically in all of my days of memories, smartphones and all that stuff has been
mm-hmm.
around
mm-hmm.
to where you can get instant information, the internet, all that kind of stuff. But even though we have more information than ever, it seems as if there's more depression than ever. There's more
yeah.
addiction than
True.
Ever. There's more loneliness than ever, I think, is another huge one.
Yep.
And that's wild that not all information, just having access to information equals good information for one.
Right.
And then healthy or beneficial for you as well, because there's some things, it sounds so counter to today, where it's like, hey, maybe... not having information on everything would actually make you have to trust God with a situation. Oh, you know what I'm saying? To where it's like,
I mean, I can't Google my symptoms.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or like just have every single thing planned out entirely or,
mm-hmm.
and everything figured out in all of life.
Mm-hmm.
But instead being like, instead of having to comprehend absolutely everything and to the best of my ability understand everything. It's almost like there should be passages that say lean not on your own understanding, yes, or something like that.
That's right.
You know?
Definitely.
But it's something that people thirst for like crazy.
It's true.
Right? That's
true.
I don't know if it's because of this. Obviously, I know racing thoughts happened before the internet and all this kind of stuff. But it seems as if with information being so widespread these days and so easily accessible, and then also you can Google an answer or Google something to get an answer, you get the opposite answers. And it's like, I don't even know where to go with this stuff now, you know? And so it just seems like this craving for understanding, it is insatiable. Like you can never like become to a place where you're like, okay, I've understood everything I need to understand. You know, you will always be like, okay, but what's next? What's next? Again, it's the scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, and it's just never stopping. And these, like, you're not going to get to the bottom of TikTok ever. You're not ever going to get to the bottom of Facebook.
Yeah.
You're not going to get to the bottom of Twitter.
Yeah.
It used
to be that you could.
It used to be.
In the early days, you could scroll Facebook for a while. Like, I was like, that's where I was last time.
No, this time it's like, I'll just feed you 100 ads in a row so that you stay on this sucker, you know? So that is an insatiable craving that people have. And those are hardwired into our being. Like we're saying, eternity has been put into our hearts. It's a part of your soul. But the Bible tells us there is a place that provides that fulfillment to those cravings. Mm. So this verse, Psalm 16:11, I would say, go look this one up yourself as well. Yeah. Highlight it in your phone or something. Yeah. Psalm 16:11 says this, "In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore."
Yeah. That's good.
The solution to the problems we're talking about today, right?
If we were created with a craving, it was intensified by our rebellion, then the only place you could go for the fulfillment would be back to the one who created the craving to begin with.
So good. Yes.
And then come back to him knowing he has a way for dealing with the rebellion as well.
Yeah.
That actually intensifies the resolve and the fulfillment.
Yeah. There's a philosophy point. I don't remember exactly what it is now, but it's that idea of if there is a desire that has been created in you, at the root of what that desire is, the Creator has a solution for it. It's just like when you're hungry, there is a solution to your hunger.
Yeah.
When you're thirsty, there's a solution to your thirst. So the same is in this. Whenever there is that craving for intimacy, there is a solution to that craving.
Yeah.
It's not just the first thing you see that's right in front of you that says, that's the answer. No.
Yep.
The Creator decides what the answer is.
Yes.
And so we've got to say, okay, Lord, renew my mind. And what is it that you have to satisfy me in these areas?
Yeah. So this is a little bit different path. I'm not going to be able to go all the way down this street here with this. But even the issues that everyone tries to deal with, like I want to deal with my greed issue. I want to deal with my lust issue. Mm-hmm. And what they attempt to do is just deal with the greed or the lust, we'll say, just those two examples.
Yeah.
But what's happening is those are just pictures or cheap substitutes for a deeper craving you have.
Yeah.
Often, lust is actually rooted in a desire for intimacy that has been offered to you as a cheap substitute.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you're not ever going to win over the battle of lust by keep trying to kill the lust.
Yeah.
You'll answer the struggle of lust by finding the resolve and the fulfillment of intimacy in the one who created us.
So good.
That's the answer. That's where all of this ties in.
That's what this is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that there is a place of fulfillment, intimacy, and even understanding that is found, as that verse said, in his presence.
So good.
Yeah. So we're going to build a bridge here because in the Old Testament, we have a picture of the presence of God in the subject of the tabernacle, this Old Testament tent that God told Moses to build with very specific parameters, very specific dimensions, very specific materials, location, placement, orientation, all of it God gave to Moses because it was a picture of eternal things. It was a picture of God and man dwelling together and man being able to enter into and experience the very presence of God, his presence, the fullness of joy in his presence. So fast forward into the whole tabernacle model, what you find is this building, temporary building at the center of the location that was called the tabernacle itself. There was the courtyard around it, but then there was the tabernacle. And inside the tabernacle were two rooms. And the first of those was the holy place, and the second was the holy of holies, or the most holy place. But in this first room, the holy place, you have this very sensory, mysterious, wonderful experience. Mm-hmm. The walls are made of gold. The ceiling and the veil into the next room are made of linen and royal blue and crimson and purple with angels sewn into the design. And in this space that you had to know would have been silent because it's so well insulated from the material that's covering it and surrounded by gold on the walls. Mm-hmm. It was a dark space, but there are three pieces of furniture that God says to put into this space. The first of those is a large candle stand, and it's to be made of pure gold. The weight of it is 75, I can't remember the word. It's equivalent. It was equivalent to an amount of gold that would today be worth some $2 million for us. For a candle stand. Not your typical, candle on your coffee table deal, but a stand, a 3 or 4 foot, 5 foot, 6 foot stand that had seven branches to it that all had pure olive oil in it, and it burned this lamp, these seven lamps on it. It provided light into this space. You got to imagine gold walls in this very dark space, and here are these seven lamps, and the flame is flickering, and it's moving around in this place, and it's mysterious, and it's kind of transcendent. Like, I've just left the wilderness, and I've come into this very sacred, rich environment. And then also, the second piece of furniture was a table that was also covered in gold, but on this, they were to keep fresh bread daily that the priests themselves could eat. So now you've introduced another element to this space, aroma. Mm-hmm. There was fresh bread and there was frankincense on the bread. But then there was a third piece in the room that was the altar of incense, and it was to be burning incense 24 hours a day. So the priest had to continually be putting new incense. So now you have this burning incense in this environment. Again, so mysterious, transcendent, but this is the place where the presence of God dwelt. And so it's a picture for us, I think. God's given us this picture. He gave Moses this pattern, this picture. Mm-hmm. And I think it says something about all these cravings that we have in these three pieces of furniture here, because one of them was the candle stand. Mm-hmm. And the candle stand gave light. It was the only light source in the room, and it gave clarity, it gave definition, it gave understanding, it gave perception, it gave perspective to this room. It was by the light that you saw everything else in the room. Yeah. You saw where you came from, you saw where you could go, you saw the bread, you saw the altar of incense. Mm-hmm. So the candlestand was, in a sense, the answer to the longing for understanding. Mm-hmm. I want to understand, I want to see.
Yeah.
The candlestand pictures that for us. Jesus as the light of the world is given to us.
Removing the darkness as well.
It takes away the darkness. So for us today, for all of the anxiety of not knowing and having understanding, that produces in me angst and fear and depression and uncertainty. When you lean on Jesus as the light and you enter into his presence, the light dispels all the darkness. It dispels all the fear, all the confusion, all the uncertainty. Jesus becomes that light when you have fully surrendered and enter into that place.
Yeah,
that's so good. In his presence is the fullness of joy.
That's so good.
It's good.
Yeah.
You also have the table of bread, which is fascinating, that here was bread. Could only be eaten by the priests. Mm-hmm. But it was going to be fulfilling for them. It was going to be satisfaction for them. They could eat and know here in the presence of God was satisfaction. It was a picture for them. Of course, the New Testament, Jesus said he was the bread of life. And so here we find in this that the, all the longing we have for fulfillment and satisfaction in this life, it's offered to us in Jesus, coming to Him for all of our longings, all of our desires to be, to have fulfillment, to have pleasure, to have purpose, to have meaning in life. He says, I can satisfy all of that if you'll come to me and let me love you. Let me show you that I created you. Let me show you what I have purposed for you. Let me show you how I'm at work in you. Let me show you what I'm doing around you. Let me show you what heaven will be like. All of that's for us. And what it does is when you enter into that, there's all of a sudden this sense of, okay, I can rest. I can be satisfied. I can be satisfied in the midst of a struggle knowing you're at work in my life. I can be satisfied in the midst of what feels like I'm alone because I know you're with me. So it's a great picture, so bread, satisfying.
Yeah.
But the third piece in the room would have been the altar of incense. And it was one that burned continually. And you, if you would have walked in and seen it and the candlelight or the light from the lamp shining, you would have noticed this haze going up continually, the smoke going up. And it was symbolic of the prayers of God's people going up to heaven, which is a picture of intimacy, a picture of I'm known by God. Yeah. He knows me. My words go straight to His heart. He cares for me. I can be one with Him. So I think it's so great that these three pieces of furniture answer the three longings.
The three cravings.
The cravings that we have for each of these. So here in this intimacy, I don't have to chase people. I don't have to chase experiences. I don't have to chase sex. I don't have to chase trying to connect with other people enough to satisfy my longings. I can enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ and know I can be, and He will be intimate with me. He will allow me into His presence, know me. Yeah. I can know Him, and that can satisfy me, can satisfy the craving. So I'm not having to wildly chase what will never satisfy.
Exactly. And those three things, the bread, the incense, and the candle, the understanding, the fulfillment, the intimacy, those things are only found in the presence of God.
Yeah.
And so again, going back to the Psalm 16:11, in your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The Bible doesn't say, oh, you have those desires? Shame on you. You're the worst,
right,
you know?
Right.
No, it doesn't condemn you.
Yep.
But the Bible points to the fact, those are God-designed.
Yes.
And God-satisfied.
Yes.
It doesn't mean, oh, they're God-designed, so you do with them what you want and figure out how you want to satisfy them. No. But to be fulfilled in Him, to be intimate with Him, to get your understanding from Him. Yep. So good.
Yeah. So the question is, well, how do I do all this then? That all sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. What do I do? I would say, not to make it oversimplistic, but to make it realistic. Mm-hmm. When the next time a craving comes alive in you, and you turn to the place, or you want to turn to the place that you always have before, whether it's to the alcohol, to the overworking, to the numbing the pain, to the wrong relationship, to the endless scrolling, to the media that is not healthy for you. When the craving comes, use that moment to draw near to God. The promise is if you will draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. And He will satisfy. If you'll enter in, if you'll seek His presence, the next time that craving hits, go right to Jesus with that. And then not just go to Him, but receive what He offers you. Hear Him give to you the confidence of knowing He loves you.
So
He's for you. He's forgiven you. Mm-hmm. He's chosen you. He is with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. He is at work in your life. And you take those things in and let it saturate into your soul, it will satisfy. It will fulfill. It will settle the wild cravings. The New Testament says it in a very succinct way. It says, if you'll walk in the Spirit, in other words, in the reality of these things, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will diminish because you'll have found fulfillment in Him.
Good.
So if you want to know more about this, man, check out our other videos here on our channel, because we're walking through the series about the tabernacle right now, and we're seeing one by one how God has designed for us to find our fulfillment in Him and walk in these ways. So Thanks for joining us. Check out the other videos. Come join us in person here at Vertical, where we are lifting him up and living him out.